bit. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
All right, back at Camden Yards, game number 155 in the regular season. Yep, 155. The lights are getting dimmer. The season is coming to a close. And tonight, Orioles against Tampa Bay, game two of a four-game series. And tonight, Ubaldo Jimenez gets a start. Who knows? It could be his last as an Oriole. We'll have to wait and see. Buck Showalter and Rock Kabatko when we continue with the Geico Manager's Report right after this.
Rock Kabatko with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's Manager's Report. Buck, let's start with Gabriel Ulloa. 8 innings, 1 run. Is that a product of, you know, what you always talk about? Work fast, throw strikes, let the defense work behind you. He seemed like he had a really good rhythm going.
Yeah, he had two pitches working for him. You know, if you can command a fastball, you can compete. You know, two, you can win. And three, sometimes you dominate. And he had, I think he only threw two changeups out of 95 pitches, which is remarkable. There's a little bit of an ambush going on there with Tampa, not knowing him. And that's why probably from an evaluation standpoint, it'd be a good idea to let him face Tampa again at the end of the season to see if that can continue. But we'll see how it works out. But real proud of him. I really didn't want him to get hurt, and I was trying to pick my spot about getting him out of there, but he made it easy on us.
Manny Machado, of course, gives you guys a quick 2-0 lead with his 33rd home run, which leads the club. What's running through your mind when you see that and you think, here's a guy that I wasn't even sure was going to stay in the lineup during BP, and he homers his first at-bat?
Well, Rock, we've said it many times. You know, this is a post-up team, and I hope the fans appreciate these guys play. And when you realize that we have three or four guys in the top 10 in that bats compared to other teams, that's something that our fans should be very proud of, and Manny's another example of that.
And how important was it when there was the scoreless inning streak, it was 26 innings, to jump out to that 3-0 lead immediately in the first inning? I know it was the only inning you guys scored, but to, you know, get that monkey off your back and take that lead early.
You know, Rock, I'd like to say it was a big deal, but it's not a topic of conversation. I mean, it's about, did we score more runs than the other team in 9, 10, or 11 innings? And, you know, what some streaks or some tendency, and, you know, guys, you know, they ask me questions a lot to start with, you know, in the last week this has happened, what do you think? You can't live in that world. You can't become blind to it. You can learn from it, but all of it's pretty obvious to us.
Rock Kabatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report, Ubaldo Jimenez on the mound tonight. His last outing in New York, 1 run and 10 strikeouts in 5 innings. And I know we've talked about this a lot with Ubaldo, where you're not always sure what you're going to get. But is that, again, an example of the frustration for him as well as everybody else that, you know, that kind of outing's there? It's just, it's hard for him to string them together.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, he's pitched some really good baseball for us in his tenure here. And last time out was a great example of that. But, you know, with that, those good outings, it's a lot of it because he has such a deceptive delivery, sometimes it's hard to keep in sync. And he goes through periods where he keeps it in sync for a long time. And a lot of pitching coaches and obviously Ubaldo have attacked it for a long time. And I'm hoping it can continue and he can finish on a good note. But, you know, it's a lot like hitters. Can you imagine having the power at your fingertips that Chris Davis has and can't get to it on a given pitch? I can't imagine how frustrating that must be.
And as long as you mentioned Davis, he's hitting 138 this month. Mark Trumbo's hitting 188, and he's not in the lineup tonight. And I know a lot of guys have been up and down this year, but how tough is it when you have those two guys who you ideally would have in the middle of the order who are both struggling the way they are this month?
Well, it's a challenge. You know, believe me, it grates on them, and they really they don't take it nonchalantly. I see all the work they do and the way they wear it mentally and emotionally, that they just it's very frustrating for them. And once again, we know how good they are, and you keep giving them every opportunity to get back to that, and there's been flashes of it. It's not like, you know, they haven't done, you know, Chris has got on base a lot, and, you know, Mark for a couple of months was doing things very much like last year, and it'll happen again.
Alex Cobb on the mound tonight for the Rays. You guys certainly have seen him enough times. When he's on, what kind of challenge does he present?
Well, here's another guy. He's 10th in the American League in pitching in ERA, and which also tells you how hard it is when you got a 3.5, 3.6 ERA and you're 10th in the league, what it's like pitching in this league. But he, one of the better pitchers in the American League. He's going to be a free agent this year, and there are going to be a lot of teams tripping over themselves to sign him. But he, a lot of different ways to get you out. And another neutral split guy that you're almost doing him a favor by running a bunch of left-handed hitters out there.
And finally, Jonathan Scope was named most valuable Oriole today, voting by the media that covers the team. Is that kind of the no kidding? Like, he was probably the prohibitive favorite with the season he's had. And is that a testament to his consistency that he's put together a strong second half like he did the first half?
Now, did y'all have to reveal your votes?
No.
So it's not, we can't find out if it was unanimous?
Yeah, I was trying to find out because I can't imagine him not getting a first place vote.
Did you vote for him, Rock?
Yes.
Okay. So there's one we got on the board. No, John, I'm proud of him. Yeah, that was a great choice. And you know, a couple other people you could obviously think about, but John pretty much separated himself by his consistency this year.
Thank you, Buck. Take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
The Orioles at Tampa Bay tonight, game two of a four-game series. Now, offensively, you know, the Orioles have scored in only one of the last 34 innings. But last night it was good enough because Gabriel Ynoa, he was really good. And Gabriel again delivers. Now the breaking ball, a slider, swing and a miss, strike came out. Ynoa gets a 1-2-3, picks up his first strikeout. Boy, real good breaking ball there. Nicely done.
Indeed.
Eight innings, gave up one run, allowed just five hits, one walk, three strikeouts. Muy bueno for Gabriel Ynoa. And he and Jim Hunter, they will visit when we continue with a warm-up show right after this.
Orioles in Tampa Bay, game two of the four-game series. Last night, Birds won the opener by a final of 3-1. And when you win a 3-1 game, usually good pitching is involved. Gabriel Ynoa, outstanding. Eight innings, one run on five hits, and he picked up the win. Gabriel Ynoa after this on the Orioles Radio Network.
Orioles and Tampa Bay Rays tonight, game two of the four-game series after a big win last night. And, of course, it's all about starting pitching. And Gabriel Ynoa last night outstanding over eight innings. Visiting with Gabriel and Ramon Arocon from Baseball Ops will act as the interpreter. Now, Gabriel, was last night one of those nights where everything just comes together as pitchers hope every start but sometimes doesn't happen?
Thank God everything was working. I was throwing everything for strike, and they were swinging really early, so that really helped us well.
The slider was a very effective pitch for you. You're right. You threw 65% strikes last night. You got a lot of swings and misses. Is your slider a pitch designed to look like a strike, and then they commit to it, and before you know it, it breaks out of the strike zone?
It is by design. I'm working on that during the bullpen session, and that's what I try to do and implement during the games. Try to make it look a strike and then goes off the plate a little bit.
It seemed to me last night, maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, but you pitch backwards a little bit. Is that also by design to try to keep the hitters off balance?
That's part of the game plan. I talked a lot with Wellington last night before the game started, and that was part of the plan to try to attack them backwards.
The catchers here are very prepared in their game plans against opponents. I may be wrong, but I don't think I saw you shake off Wellington once last night. Do you have that much confidence in his game calling that as long as you execute whatever he calls for is fine?
I definitely feel very confident with him. Also, I feel confident in my abilities. We talk before the game starts, and we work out a plan, and that's what we try to execute.
Now, you had an outstanding spring training, nearly made the club out of camp. Some early struggles in AAA, but then towards the end, you turned it around. In fact, your last four starts, four quality starts. What came together for you late in the AAA season that you've now carried over here in September?
The key thing for me is confidence in myself, my skills to throw strikes. Those are the really main things. Those were the things that were really working for me on the last four starts, and those are the type of things that I try to bring over here.
Now, of course, the Orioles have to complete the 2017 schedule, but the plans are already underway for 2018, and there's no doubt about it, the starting rotation will be the top priority. This is a big opportunity for you, I would guess, in September. You're being given some starts, so you could put your skills into competition going into the offseason for a spot. Are you looking to take advantage of that in September?
Yes, definitely. I try to take advantage of the opportunity that they've been giving to me, just giving me the ball every fifth day, trying to take advantage of that, show that I can help now and that I can definitely help in the future and hopefully be part of that rotation.
And knowing there are jobs to be won next year, and that's a good point you make, just go out and try to take advantage of it. Can you separate what may happen in the future and just be yourself and go out and pitch, and should you do it that way?
I take it one day at a time. Whatever's coming in the future, whatever happens, happens. I'm concentrated in today. The things that I can do to help my team today, and whatever's up there in the future, I'll take advantage when that opportunity presents.
Well, congratulations on an outstanding start. It was a big team when the team needed it, and best of luck the rest of the way. I think there's some bright stuff in your future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Gabrielle Noah, Mike Griffin, the AAA pitching coach, is here with the Orioles for the remaining games of the season, and he told me that when Noah got command of all four pitches that he throws, his confidence came all together, and as a result, he was much more effective and efficient, and the Orioles are hoping that he'll develop into a starting pitcher, even if it's at the back end. If he's consistent, that's all they're looking for. Now, also today, the Orioles announced that Jonathan Scope has been named the 2017 Most Valuable Oriole. Of course, Jonathan deserving. He likely was the unanimous choice. 295 batting average, 32 home runs, 105 RBIs. And Jonathan was asked about his tremendous season and about it. What is he most proud of?
That I was in there, you know, in there to help my team, you know, contribute for my team and help my team, you know, and I'm proud that I just played successful season without injury so far. You know, we got eight more games to go, you know, and that's the main thing that I focus on. Since JJ teach me that, you know, don't worry about your number, just go out there and compete and trying to win, and you know, I was going to be there.
Well, Jonathan Scope now the number three hitter in the lineup, which in a major league lineup usually is reserved for the hitter the manager believes is the best hitter. Now, Scope was asked today what he's learned to this point that can help him going forward.
Keep working, you know, go in the gym, you know, keep getting stronger because the season's a long season. You know, you gotta give your body, you know, power. So you go out there and work hard, you know, and go in the cage and maintain yourself and get a routine and learn what the pitcher is trying to do with you, because the first half maybe they're trying to do something different with you and trying to achieve your goals, you know, and go out there and see the ball and get a plan and do it.
Well, Jonathan Scope, without a doubt, one of the more consistent hitters in the American League this year. He is tied for fifth in hits with 174, 10th in home runs with those 32, and he is second in the league in RBIs. He has 105. Only Nelson Cruz of Seattle has more runs driven in. And from Camden Yards, stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
Well, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel with Jim Hunter back at Camden Yard. Tough one tonight. As they get beat, and they get beat by a score of 8-3. Tampa Bay with 8 runs on 13 hits. Orioles with 3 runs on 10 hits. Tampa Bay among the leaders in hitting home runs as a ball club. Well, tonight they had 2 of them, including a grand slam by the catcher Wilson Ramos. And then Evan Longoria, who always hits a home run against the Orioles, it seems like, he hit one with the bases empty in the third inning. Orioles got a couple of runs early. Then Chris Davis hit a home run, but they were... Well, once Tampa Bay got off to a great start tonight, Orioles never really got back in the game. Ubaldo Jimenez, a real tough night. 3 innings, he gives up 6 runs, 8 hits. Now, he didn't walk anybody, but he also had 3 strikeouts. He gives up 2 home runs, he hit a batter, and really that's what led to his demise in the top of inning number 2. Let's go to the second inning, nothing. Ubaldo, they got 1-2-3 in the first inning on some hard hit outs. So right away, we saw that Ubaldo really didn't have his best stuff, even though he got him 1-2-3 on just 9 pitches in the first inning. And then came the second inning. Logan Morrison was the leadoff hitter. Ubaldo got him 0-2. And then, well, this happened. When he hit him with a pitch on 0-2. Morrison gets on base. And that's how the whole thing got started. After that, Steven Souza Jr., a ground ball that had eyes that got through the infield for a base hit. And then Dickerson, same thing. Little ground ball that had eyes that somehow got through the infield. Bases loaded, nobody out for the catcher, Wilson Ramos. Here's Wilson Ramos, the catcher, right-hand batter, with nobody out. And the pitch, and Ramos, fly ball, left center. This ball ain't coming back. It is long gone. That is a grand slam. And it's a 4-0 Tampa Bay lead just like that. And it all began on an 0-2 hit batsman. Tough way to go there. Then came the bottom of the second when the Orioles actually did get back in the game, at least momentarily. Adam Jones a single to get the inning started. And with that base hit, Adam tied Brady Anderson for 4th place on the all-time Oriole hit list. And then Mancini came up. He got a base hit. And then there was a walk to Chris Davis. So now the Orioles had the bases loaded themselves in the bottom of the second inning. It brought up Austin Hayes. Cobb in a big jam. And the right-hander again comes to a set. He delivers. Hayes, fly ball, left center, pretty well hit. Backing up, Kiermaier. He's at the warning track. He's going to make the catch. Jones comes in. Mancini goes to third. The ball back into second base to make it 4-1. Austin Hayes just missed what could have been a grand slam as he sent Kiermaier to the edge of the warning track in left center. Yeah, that was fun. Exciting. Had he pulled the ball just a bit, it might have been a grand slam, and it would have been a brand new ball game. But it was not to be. It was just a long and exciting sacrifice fly. And then moments after that, Mancini, who was able to go second to third on that fly ball out, well, he scored when Tampa Bay made a mistake. And the right-hander again will check the runners and delivers 0-2. Pedro checks swing, and the ball gets past the catcher. Here comes Mancini. No throw. Mancini comes in to score on a wild pitch to make it 4-2. And Mancini got a real good read at third base. He broke immediately, and he scored without a play. Oh, there you go. They got back in the game. All of a sudden, a two-run game. Then came the third. Ubaldo back on the hill. Evan Longoria, the leadoff hitter, and he did what he does quite a bit of against the Orioles.
And the pitch swinging a high fly ball deep left field. Mancini is back on it, near the wall, at the wall, reaches up, and it is gone. He didn't get it. It's into the first row. So Ubaldo immediately gives one right back as Longoria hits his 39th career home run against the Orioles and his 21st career home run here at Camden Yards.
Yep, Evan Longoria has hit more home runs against the Orioles than any other opponent during his career. And so the Rays came back with a couple of runs on four hits in the top of inning number three. Now, in the bottom of the fourth inning, the big fella came up to hit, and, well, he gave the fans a little excitement here.
And the 0-1 Davis swings. It's a deep drive to right, and that ball's going to go way, way back and gone. It's onto the flag court, right over the SK sign. So Chris Davis hits it out, his 25th of the year, and it's now 6-3 Tampa Bay.
And for Chris Davis, his first home run since way back on September 10th. So Davis hit one out. After that, not a whole lot going on. Cobb went six innings. He wins it. He's now, well, his record is now 12-10. He gave up three runs on a total of nine hits. Then the Rays bullpen took over. So Cishek with a scoreless seventh. And then we saw Tommy Hunter come into the game in the eighth inning, and all he did was strike out the side. And then Boxberger came in. He got the final three outs. And again, they were all on strikeouts. Ow. Manny, a big swing and a miss. So he goes down on strikes. And that's it. That's the ball game. Now the game ends here tonight with the Orioles striking out six times in the last two innings. So Tampa Bay wins it 8-3 in the loss column again. And boy, they go down quietly too. They did. Ball game over. Same two teams again tomorrow night. They'll try and get it right. Well, Jim Hunter, at the moment, he's got Buck Showalter as we continue with our Browns Honda City postgame show right after this.
Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards, where the Orioles drop an 8-3 game to Tampa Bay. So the Orioles are now 74-81, which means one more loss, and they are assured of a losing season. The season series with Tampa Bay now even at 7-7. The series even at 1-1. And the Orioles fall to 1-4 on the homestand. Time to hear from the skipper. Let's head downstairs. Post-game comments from Buck Showalter.
What's up?
You saw a better version of Ubaldo in New York, the last start. What happened tonight?
What happened tonight?
Yeah, I mean, what were you seeing with him?
No, I got two pitches that with the four runs, the 0-2 hit by pitch and the home run. Got a couple ground balls that trickle through. Next thing you know, we're down 4-0. So can't take those two pitches back. And then we get back in at 4-2 and we go out and give two right back to them. So that was kind of took a lot of, took a lot of any momentum that we were trying to garner. We had some opportunities against Cobb to get back in it, but couldn't get that one hit we needed.
It's been a hard 4 years in some ways for him here. I mean, he's been good at some times and not so good at others. I mean, you've often said, well, you admired how he posted up. I mean, how would you sum up his time here?
Oh, I'm not going to. That's for another day, Rich. I understand that I don't think we're. It's not up. And, you know, there's. You know, you're always looking for the positives and everything, especially in my job. And if you look, you'll always find them. So tonight wasn't one of them. Even though, you know, you can say, you know, like I said, ground ball. But, you know, we hit a guy 0-2 and we made a pitch that Ramos jumped on. And then we gave two right back. But, you know, he's not the only one, but I know that's the point of emphasis tonight.
Is there any kind of feeling when it gets to this time of year and the offense is going as it is that, you know, there's a lot of hits where there's multiple hits and it just doesn't seem like it comes through? Is there like a sense that, you know, guys are getting frustrated even from that any more than normal?
I hope so. Yeah, certainly. That's I think that's a pretty obvious answer, guys. There's no case of Ross Raw here. Believe me, they're grinding and it's frustrating. But you know, so you can talk about the fact that we're doing a lot of things to set up some innings. We're just not getting that last hit to get it over the top. And you know, tonight you're going to have to score 9 runs to win. So that's always the emphasis for me, is trying to figure out a way to keep them from going, you know, 360 feet. And tonight we didn't do a very good job of that, but you know, we did some good things offensively. But you know, Cobb's another top 10 guy in the ERA in the American League. We caught him, I thought, on the night that we had a chance to do some things, but we couldn't get over the hump.
The postgame comments from Buck Showalter as Tampa Bay evens this series at a game each with an 8-3 win. And as Buck alluded to, the big blow came in the second inning, a grand slam by Wilson Ramos after Ubaldo hit Logan Morrison on an 0-2 pitch to begin the inning, then back-to-back ground ball singles by Steven Souza and Corey Dickerson, and then Ramos with the grand slam. That made it 4-0. Tampa Bay never did trail in this game, and the Rays win it by the final of 8-3.